What a beautiful morning. Happy Father's Day. I walked out onto the back deck this morning, and I sat down, and, having coffee with Father, just peaceful. And looked down at his favorite color. How many know God's favorite color is? Green. God's favorite color is green. And you think, Jesus, well, let's make it green, God's greener, it's gorgeous, and it's all these shades of green, all these wonderful shades of green, and then he put these beautiful flowers out there, I planted them, but they are a miracle of color, and, I saw the flowers, I'm in my bare feet, and I said, I'm going to get some flowers for Judy. She loves flowers, and I stepped off the deck right into dog poop. You know what that feels like? In John 14 it says, let not your heart be troubled. All right? I'm telling you, there's going to be trouble. You're going to step into trouble. right off your own back deck. But you can't let it affect your heart. See, you just can't let it affect your heart. There's so much trouble out there. Go to John 14. How many know that we live in troubled times? But you can't let it give you heart problems. And I know a lot of people have heart problems because of stress, frustration, anger, anxiety, fear. What did it say right there? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So that's why, that was a beautiful place this morning, but I wanted to be with believers. Okay? I need, at this time in my life, my whole life, to be with people who believe in something good, something wonderful, something true, something real, something honest. I need to be gathered together with believers because I've stepped into trouble. I'll tell you. And, I don't want my first reaction to go get those dogs. my wife's dogs. Those are my wife's dogs. And, start going after that dog, No. Some dogs just do what they do, Some people just do what they do. They're going to do what they do. And I can't let it trouble my heart. I can't let it ruin my day. I can't let it ruin my life. I can't let it frustrate me and anger me and go on a rant on Facebook and I would have loved to have been on that deck all day, but I needed to be here with my kids. They wanted me here today. They really wanted me here today. Yes, I do have children. That's why they don't come, because I'm respectful. But they've done their time. Trust me, they set up all the chairs every Sunday for how many years? I don't know. I set up the chair. They were the first ones there and the last ones to leave. Always. Every Sunday. They were just there. Faithful. Talking about faithful. And they are faithful. Faithful did. But I wanted to be here with you guys too on this wonderful Father's Day to celebrate Father's Day. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. I wanted to be with believers. This is my favorite passage of Scripture. It says, in my Father's house. Now, a lot of us have good memories of our father's house. I do. I have wonderful memories. Even when my parents went through a divorce at a young age, I still have good memories of growing up in my father's house, doing stuff with the family. The translation that I get, in my father's heart, in the father's heart, there's room for everybody. Think of Almighty God. We kind of bring him down to our own level. We kind of minimalize God. And we say, well, there's room for, this group, that group, there's room for this guy and that guy, but God, I don't know about this guy, and all that. There's room for all of them. That's knowing God. That's knowing the Father. That's knowing the Father. You know, there are many people who could say, well, do you believe in God? Well, yes, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. Nobody up there likes me. The big guy upstairs. Now, how many have heard that? But do they know as Father? I didn't know as Father. I sort of trembled, you know, at the Father. If I go into church, it's going to fall down. Because, oh my goodness. We have this wrong idea about God, the Father, and I'm out to change it. How about you? I'm out to change it. I'm out to surprise people with the love of God and the power of God. I'm about to surprise people about Christians and ministers. I'm about to, you know, do away with their ideas that they generated and we've given them for years. Why? Because it's changing. Things are changing. Did you notice? And God hasn't changed. He's a lover. He's a lover of mankind. In my Father's house, there's room for everyone. If it were not so, I would not have told you. So I go to prepare your heart to receive Him. See, there's room for you to prepare your heart, to change your heart about God. That's what repentance did. It's not, you know, grumbling at the altar and saying, oh, I'm wicked, wicked. You know, I'm wicked me. We know you're wicked. That's really wicked. It's about changing your heart toward God. And instead of running away from Him, how far from God can I get? You know, it's running into those everlasting arms, just like the prodigal son. No matter what your condition, no matter what your past, no matter, you know, just running back into the Father's house. And the Father seeing you far up says, here you come. Here comes my son. Oh, and standing there with open arms. Oh, that's been my experience. That's really been my experience. You know, and even in this time of trouble, you know, we're believers, and we need to let our belief system work for us. Not hinder us, not cause shame and frustration and fear, but we need to let our belief system, our correct belief system, work for us. You know, how many have been in a jam? Oh, God! You know, there you get that belief system going, you know what I mean? Help me! You know, and out there, we haven't prayed for years. He hears you. He'll hear your prayer in that time of trouble. When you step into trouble, and it's going to happen. Now, his disciples, Thomas, Doubting Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas. I'm glad to have that name. You know, oh, there's old Doubting Thomas. You know what I mean? Are we going to call him that in heaven? I don't think so. Oh, he's going to have a new name. We're all going to have a new name. You know, I'm going to be beloved. I don't know what you're going to be. But he asked Jesus in verse 6, I think, that's where, in verse 6 of John 14, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am. I like that part. I am. So he's declaring himself God right there. I am the great I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there is a journey. There is a way. And there is a journey that we're all in. I just asked this morning, what are you looking for? On your journey, are you just like sort of wandering around aimlessly, or is there something you're focused on to find? I mean, I'm certainly trying to find my way. Still, 73 years old, finding my way. I wish this morning, as a father of 7 children, that I could give you 3 steps to great fatherhood. Here, get ready for the first one. You know. And I have it outlined up there and everything, but I can't, because as soon as I think, I got this, something happens that I never expected. You know what I mean? And it doesn't fit in my box of how to handle things as a perfect father. Right, Doug? You know, where the wife's like, what? And there's no, you know, oh my God, I don't have this. What kind of thing he's got there? You know, I learned that lesson. Keep learning that lesson. You know, as long as Judy and I both keep learning that lesson, that there's only one person, Father, that has the way, you know, and has the truth, and leads me to life. There's that one Father, that Heavenly Father. You know, so many have lost their way. It just seems out there like so many have lost their way. I mean, they have no idea of where they're going, where they're headed, what they're believing. And that's all right. I mean, that's all right. You know, some have lost their way, you know, in greater ways than others. You know, I just hope if I encounter them, I can tell them about my journey and what has helped me find my way. Because once I really was in a bad place out there, you know, I'm in a real bad place. And thank God I'm just not in that place anymore, at that level of confusion and frustration. And we're supposed to be growing all the time along that path, along that way. You know, the people are searching to find the meaning of life, and it's astounding to me in this hour of what people go through to find the meaning of life, you know. I'll try this, you know. This seems good, you know. Wow, that's weird. You know? But, you know, they're trying. They're trying to find their way. And we're not here to actually critique it, although it takes a path, especially us older folks, if we're used to a certain path. You know what I mean? And they expect us to understand everything that's going on, and I just don't. I'm sorry. I just don't. You know, but I can be kind, and I can be generous, and I can be helpful. And that's really what I want to be in this hour. Because so many are searching to find a way. You know, this driving Uber has been an amazing awakening to me about people finding their way. And I feel it's a wonderful mission to help people. Journey. You know? I mean, I didn't even think that. It's my pleasure. You know, get you the way you want to go. It's almost a prophetic picture. And along the way, they, you know, ask you questions. Well, you know, what do you do? You know, what they don't say. Some of them say, hi, they, you know, they're buddies. You know? And, you know, they're, well, you know, you got about 10, 20 minutes to, you know, help them along their way. And they generally open right up and, well, what did you used to do? Oh, I was a pastor. Really? I mean, really? I mean, where's your suit and tie? Why aren't you wearing a suit and tie? You know, so it's just an opportunity to help people along their way and be kind. And you get paid for it. You get to listen to music. So it's really kind of a fun thing, you know. So we're here to help these people who have lost their way. And Jesus leads us to the Father. Jesus says, no one, right here, I am the way through, no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? So, yes, you can know God. Okay, yes, I believe in God. But what God, Jesus revealed is the Father part of God. That's what he's saying. He said, no one can reveal the Father heart of God to you the way I can, because I'm the Son. I mean, my sons know what a father is because they've been raised by one. They can explain what a father is. Abby can explain what a father is and what a father does and how a father acts and how a father overreacts. You know, I mean, they've experienced the good, bad, and the ugly. They can testify. Come on, testify. But that's what Jesus does. Jesus leads us to the Father. He reveals the Father to us. And that was with even just calling him Father in this hour was just, you know, outlandish. Because they didn't even say the name of God in the religious and Jewish culture. They didn't use the name God, let alone the name Father, Abba, Daddy God. So he comes with a revelation, just this revolutionary revelation of God that no one's ever got before. No one, I mean, it's astounding. They want to kill him because of that. Because he's taking God's name in vain and calling him Father.
I mean, can't just people be like, they call me Mr. Walker all the time, you know? Mr. Walker.
I mean, there's a setting where a family, by God the Father, and this is the setting. Oh, thank God we have a setting. A setting where He calls us Father. And Jesus says, if you know me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen me. So Jesus is a reflection or an illustration of walking illustration of who God is. In Colossians, look over in Colossians. Colossians 1. Verse 12, it says, give thanks to the Father. I am so glad that we live in a country still that gives thanks to the Father today. Amen. They have not outlawed it yet. You know. I mean, we live in interesting times. And there's an incredible assault on masculinity. Amazing assault on masculinity. And I know men can be big. I'm sorry. You know? I know. But there is redemption. Amen? There is redemption. And if we can use these times that we're in, when flaws of men are coming out, to better ourselves and to understand ourselves and be more respectful to women and institutions and children and better ourselves, then let's use it. You know? I mean, there is this assault, but we still give thanks. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, fathers. Thank you, fathers, for just being there. Thank you, fathers. Thank you, men, for being fathers. And thank you, mothers, for, you know, being the fathers when the fathers weren't there. You know, I mean, he is the father to what? The fatherless. There's no orphans in the kingdom. Amen? And that's what we're trying to get across to people who've been raised without fathers and bad impressions of men and fatherhood have been abused by men and fathers. There is a Father that loves you, that can heal you. There is that Father that can heal those pains and heal those hurts. It's Almighty God. He's there for us. He's not against it. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. The Father. The Father. It says, thank God for the Father who has qualified you. You don't qualify yourself. He qualified you. Thank God. He qualified you. You don't meet the qualifications, but He qualified you. I didn't meet the qualifications for fatherhood. You know, I didn't meet the qualifications for fatherhood. I told somebody last night, I used to sit on the bench outside in Chagrin Falls, outside of the bar. I just walked out and I used to sit there and, you know, kind of drunk. And I used to watch people with baby carriages and families going by. I said, that'll never be me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not pushing my baby. I will never change that. 7 children later! Woo! Oh my gosh. Never say never, folks. Never say never. He qualified me to be a father. He qualified me to be a father. Oh my goodness. To be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. Oh, he shined a light in my heart. Oh my goodness. After I had April, okay? April, after I had April, he shined a light in my heart. I was sitting in the bar, you know, and a light came on. I said, oh my gosh, I just don't want to visit this baby. I want to raise this baby. A light came on in a dark place. A light came on and he revealed the power. He revealed that I could be different. It says He has delivered us. He delivered us from the power of darkness that holds us in depression, holds us in fear, holds us in anger, holds us in addiction. He delivers us. When the light goes on, there's deliverance come. It comes. The deliverance comes and conveyed us into the kingdom of what? The Son of God. The Son, love does it, folks. Love does it. Not good preaching, not anger, not hellfire and brimstone, not fear. Love. Love. He put a love in my heart for, you know, April, for Judy, for, and said, God, I got to do something. Help me. Help me. Cry out to God, help me, I'm lost. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm never even ready to be like that. I'm a mess. God, shine that light in that dark place, in the darkness. He's going to do it again, amen. He's a miracle, working, wonder-working God who never stops. Never stops. With God, all things are possible. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. He is the image. This is what I wanted to get to. He is the image. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. He is the image. It says right there, He is the image of the invisible God. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. Give us Jesus. We want Jesus. Jesus is God incarnate. It's called the incarnation. God in the flesh. By blood. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at this morning. That's what we're worshiping this morning. That's where our journey has led us. Hasn't it? It led me to Jesus. It's all about Jesus for me now. I am very, you know, tolerant of other people's belief systems. I love people. I love to hear about their belief system. But for me, it's Jesus, folks. You know? It's Jesus. I mean, I'm a believer. I'm a Jesus freak. You know what I mean? And it's done for me. And I help them along their journey. Wherever they're going, you know. And tell them what has helped me. What it's done for me. And it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So, sonship is in the blood. In the blood. The same blood that's in me and in my children. It's called DNA. DNA. I think there's a great interest right now on DNA, isn't there? Ancestry.com. And all that. Now, I didn't send mine in. Judy did. She was really interested in her ancestry. I don't know. Why do you think it is today that people are so interested? I mean, could it be that they lost their way and they want to get back to their roots? Could it be that they just feel aimless and they sort of don't know direction and they're looking for something in their past to connect them, to strengthen them somehow. I'm Irish! Yes! I'm Scottish! You know, I mean, and then you look at the character traits of the Scots are supposed to be cheap, or frugal, I'm sorry, right? Frugal. And is that their DNA? And the Irish, our anger. How about the Polacks? Oh. you're laughing. I'm watching the thing. What are you saying? I know. So, it's in the DNA. It's in the blood. He's the spitting image of me. Now, how long has that been around, spitting image? And we always know that DNA is in the spit. You know? He is the spitting image of me. He's the spitting image of me. That's a funny thing, isn't it? They carry our DNA, both Judy and mine. Judy has Scottish, Irish, English, you know, French, all of them. I have Croatian. I mean, it's a big mixture. But I wrote down a definition, a very simple definition of DNA, very simple. I'm not a scientist. If you want the best definition of DNA, ask Jeff. Where's Jeff? Ask Jeff. There he is. He'll give you the definition. It says DNA, codes of genetic information for the transmission of inherited traits. Got that? Codes of genetic information for the transmission of inherited traits. So my codes, my genetic information is passed on to my children. It's revenge. Now, they carry that same DNA. But my daughter April is so much like me. I guess when I was amazing. She's really like me. And others are more strongly like their mother. It's really interesting how we carry. But I translate for us DNA as divine nature added. Divine nature added. Now, somebody recently said something in response to President Trump, Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to make opinions. I do pray for people. Okay? And that's my position. They're in the position of leadership. I'm not, you know, I pray. But when he made an accusation against a group of people group, she said, there is a spark of divinity in every human being. Ooh. Wow. I mean, I don't believe that's true. Only me. Everybody else is the one thinking about it. You know what I mean? There is a spark of divinity in everybody. You know? Which is he knew you was in the kingdom of God. You know, before creation, he ordained that you'd be predestined. His idea for you was to serve him, to know him as Father, to be a person, a good person, a loving person, a wonderful person who he created. God doesn't make junk, folks, okay? God does not, you know, less of a person because of your nationality, you know, your race, your size, your weight, your color, your gender, okay? That's not this. He said he has qualified you from the moment of conception. From the moment of conception, he had big plans for you. He had big plans for you, darling. He had big, even though you're little. He had big, big plans for you, and you know what? That worked out. Teresa, got big plans for you. You stepped in some butt, you still got something for you. No, she's a long time. The miracles are here. Smile. Oh my God, what a blessing. That divine nature makes all things possible. Divine nature added. Oh, how do we prove that he's our Father? How do we prove that he's our Father? It says, he is the image, or you are the image. You are the image. Divine nature, man. When is that awareness of your divine nature happening? For me, July 17th, I moved that in. Let it prevail. The light for her. Not the prophet. Jesus is my friend. They love me. I mean, it was always there. Okay? I have to believe it was always there. It just needed the light. I needed to believe. I need to believe it was there. Go back down to John 14. John 14. Some live their life without ever knowing God as Father. You know that? Without ever knowing what we know. Without ever knowing that. Philip said, verse 8 said, Lord, show us the Father. Come on, God. Come on, Jesus. Show us the Father. Quit fooling around. Quit giving us all this spiritual talk. We want to see God. We want to see God. I mean, he really wants to see God. And Jesus said, if I have been here with you so long, yet you have not known me. What more has God got to do to prove himself to you? That he loves you? I mean, you can't see stuff in yourself. Look at me. I'm still standing here before you, serving God. You know, I told the people who I worked for that it never happened. Yeah, you get saved. Ha! It happened. And you know what? I stayed saved too. Not by any help of my own, but again, his grace, his mercy, his love. We're walking proof. This church is a walking proof that there is a God. There are people that love God. There are people that believe God. I can have people stand up and give testimony after testimony about God the Father. The Father has moved in their life. Amen? I overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. The DNA, sonship is in the blood. The DNA, divine nature had of the Lamb, in the word of my testimony. I'm here to testify this morning of God here. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm here this morning to celebrate Father's Day. Woo! I'm going to dance at my daughter's wedding. Hey, why do you dance if that's ever dancing, God? Oh, my goodness. God, the Father, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. It says, have I been seen? It says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you stay jealous? I'm walking proof. Jude's walking proof. Luke's walking proof. Abby's walking proof. Teresa's walking proof. Our pastor's walking proof. There is a God who loves us. A God in heaven. I can point out 10 others, so many others. How could you say, show us God? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Father, in the Father's house, in my heart, in the dwelling place of God, the Father, the heart of the Father, the words that I speak to you this morning, I do not speak on my own behalf or authority, but the Father who dwells in me, long gone down that lonesome highway, I'll tell you. Oh my goodness. But he kept me. Don't think I didn't think of it. Getting on that highway, you know, head down. No, he kept me by power of love, authority, and responsibility. Thank you, Father. You know, we tend to, in this culture, exalt thrill seekers. Thrill seekers, those guys who do the, you know, mountains and jet skiing and all of the real pictures, so pictures that I wanted to take up a mortgage, okay, for 40 years and raise a family. That's a thrill seeker, folks. I'm still doing the thrill of it all. How many cars have we, you know, how many vans did I own? Oh, I just love many vans, you know. Many vans, my favorite vehicle. They're classy, right through, showing the thing again, them girls go crazy. Oh, right, got in. I know what he likes, they got me, man. Those are the thrill seekers, folks. Those are the real thrill seekers, the ones that take on the responsibility and stick with it, hanging in there. Woo, that's who we need, that's who we're exalting today. And the Father in heaven who gives us the grace to do it, to show up for work every day at a job we're not crazy about. Okay? But to feed kids and a wife that we love. Oh my God. Rosie. Thrill of it all. Oh, the thrill of it all. Oh, I wish I could do it all. I do. I do one too fast.
It went way too fast. Oh, just a whole little bit of little bit, you know? Then they get, oh my gosh. Wow. It's a thrill. It's a thrill to do it. Oh my goodness.
It said, believe me that I am the Father, the Father in me. Or else believing for the sake of the works themselves. What's in your DNA? What are you releasing? What are you showing people that you have the DNA of God? What are you releasing in this hour that reveals the Father to the people around you? Oh, it's a challenging time to be that person. It's a challenging time to let that be released instead of the anger, the frustration, all those things. What are you showing? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, I want that so bad. I want to be so overflowed with the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. And that's what flows out when I'm poked. Poke me. That's what flows out. I don't get that. Poke me. What is that? Poke me. Poke. What's going on? What's going to flow out of every pore, out of your mouth, out of your heart? What's going to flow out? Judgment, criticism, anger, frustration, or the power of God? See, that's when the healing comes. That's what transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We are transformed into the same image of glorious encounter to glorious encounter. It says, and whatever you ask, right there, it says, no, most assuredly I say to you, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you'll do greater works. You'll do greater things. It's a difficult time, and we need to do greater things. We need to walk in a greater love. Don't forget. We need to walk in. We are being challenged like never before. Things that have never happened like this when I was a kid or a young man. Now, things are happening where we need greater love, greater understanding, greater mercy, greater gifts. To bring what? For transformation. In our little corner of the universe, in our families, in our hearts. Oh, that's what we need. Greater works. How much of that divine nature are we releasing? It says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want this to ask to glorify Him, not ourselves, to glorify Him. God wants us to be that God encounter that we're looking for so desperately. He wants us to be that God encounter out there. I haven't got this, folks. Okay? Trust me. I have not got this. One of those things. Something comes up that I can never see coming. You know, on TV. I never saw that coming. Whew. I don't know. When I saw dead people dying, in suicide, I didn't see that coming. I mean, people's hearts are troubled. My heart, I look for answers. Because you don't know who's going to be next. And how close they are going to be to you. And what you could do to create a miracle to stop that. To give them a God encounter that says, God loves you. God cares about you. He wants to help you. You need to let our belief system work in this hour like never before. There is a Holy Spirit. He talks about it. You know, he talks about it. Ask for the Comforter, the one to come alongside and help. How many times, even in the past week, have I asked the Holy Spirit to come alongside and help me? Help me with this, Holy Spirit. I'm not strong enough. My faith isn't strong enough. But you are, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Help me. Oh, how do you ask? How do you ask those things that in that time of difficulty? Come Holy Spirit. I need more of the divine nature. I need more love, more joy, more peace, more kindness. I want to be greater with you. I want to be greater than one. How do you want to be greater than one? Greater works of mercy. Greater works of love. Greater works of kindness. Oh, I want to be remembered for kindness. I want to be remembered for love. I want to be remembered for goodness. I want to be the most gracious person on the planet. Oh, some of you already got that title of Jesus. But he dwells in me. He dwells in me. In the Father's house. I'm the Father's house. In my heart. And I want to end this with an activation. You know, and I know part of my thing that I've done before is the smile of God. I'm going to do that. Smile of God. Just smile of God. I was going to run looking for it. You know? Smile of God. Oh. And I step right off the porch. Oh, smile of God. You know? And know, let's bring the light down. And know that he's smiling at me. The Father is smiling at me. You know how many people don't know that? You know, they're going like this. You know, get that picture of Adam and Eve coming out of the garden of Eden. That's over. Not like that. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live self-hatred. Also, I get that last time I preached, Paul said, "The wicked man that I am, who shall save me from this time?" All my Lord. He's in transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. You know, he has so much shame for what he's not doing. Instead of knowing what God has already done for him. So I added something to that. The practice. But you need a practice. You really need a practice. You say you want change, you want God. You need a practice. You need it. You know, to be frustrated where you're at and just keep doing nothing is not going to help you. That's why I go to church. You know, that's why I pray. That's why I put myself in a posture to receive more of His love. So I want you to look up. If you can't do this, if you can't do this, just to say, I can't do it. Because whatever God wants us to do, it's not hard. It's simple. The world asks us to do hard things. Really hard stuff, like, you know, take huge car payments, and you know, you could be cool if you pay huge car payments, or you could be cool if you pay a big mortgage, and you could be cool if you have the best clothes. Jesus did come to smile. God just smiles at you, knowing you're smiling. And then take your arm and wrap it around yourself. Why don't you just wrap it around yourself? And hold yourself. Because that's what God's doing. You feel the energy of His love. Because lay hands on the kid and you will come. Sometimes you just need to lay hands on yourself and know that God is with you. God is love and love. You can do it just in the privacy of your own place and have a share. Thank you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, just come on. Help us be the people that are using that nature of honor. Those will be our circle of beauty.
Today, it was incredible again. I just love your heart as the Father for people. Thank you for your honesty. Don't forget your cool glasses, too. So we're going to worship again. It's not going to take long, though. And before the worship team goes, what? What's she doing? It's not that kind of worship. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. Because giving is worship as much as singing is. And so the ushers could come and just bring the baskets right here. I would pray over those. I am so grateful that we have a chance to worship in song, worship in word, and worship in giving. Because giving is an act of worship of our heart and of our finances. So come on up, guys, if you could. Nick, I think they need your help. Somebody? Nick? Somebody? Come on, Nick. Oh. Yeah, grab a basket. That's good. That's good. Thanks. God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship today. We thank you that we get to worship in song, we get to worship in word, we get to worship in fellowship, we get to worship in our finances. And so God, we pray a blessing over the finances right now. We just ask you to multiply for your purposes. I pray a blessing over every person who calls Oak River Church their home and blesses Oak River with finances so that we can do what you're calling us to do. I pray you would multiply the 90% that they keep in ways that they can't even imagine. And we ask for your favor on what's given today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and pass that out. So it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. We're grateful for you, Dad. I'm really super grateful for the men at Oak River. I have so much respect for each of you. And we have a little gift for you back there. It's a little sports bag, because who doesn't need another sports bag? Like, everybody needs something to carry stuff in. And inside, there's a bag of peanuts and M&M's. So, Indians peanuts, so there's a little baseball theme going on back there. So, all the dads present, please pick up a bag on your way out and be blessed. And have a great week. Thanks for coming. Love you guys.